Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, welcome, welcome, everybody, to the Transformation Cafe. We really want to thank you for joining us. You know, back in the days when we first started the show, gosh, it was about 4 years ago, the Transformation Cafe really came from wanting to really inspire everybody with just spiritual conversations about things that are happening in the world and coming from a very light, you know, spiritually light perspective on that. And earlier today, I learned about a story that I just thought we really would be just something really wonderful to talk about. We've got Miss Gloria. Hey, Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
Hi, Robin. I'm doing great. So good to talk to you.
Great. Yes, I'm so glad. It seems like it's going to be just you and me tonight, which is kind of nice, because sometimes it's nice to go to a cafe and come with a great friend and just sit and really just have a great visit. And we definitely have a great spiritual topic tonight to talk about. So how is it in San Diego tonight?
It's absolutely wonderful.
Absolutely wonderful. Feeling like winter. It's finally gotten a little chilly in the Southern California area. So just like most of the other parts of the world, we're all kind of feeling the wonderful changes of fall into winter. So that's really, really great. We won't really have fall, you know, Christmas doesn't, you know, winter doesn't start until the 21st of December, which is always just kind of weird for me because, you know, we're totally in the middle of winter, like now before Thanksgiving. So I think that's kind of an interesting thing.
I was just going to say that it's not too hot and not too cold.
It's just right. I know. I have a saying with my kids and stuff. I call it Goldilocks weather. You know, you don't necessarily need a jacket, and it's just perfect weather to just kind of go out there and enjoy the day. It's Goldilocks weather. When you turned on the news this morning for just early in the day, they had a wonderful story about what they're calling the Miracle Mom, and her name is Ruby. Casimario, I think that's how we're saying her name, Casimario. It happened in Boca Raton, Florida, and it seems like this story actually broke a little while ago because what the story is basically a mom had to go in to have a C-section, and right after the operation, the mother wound up experiencing an embryonic embolism, which was some of the fluid from the embryonic fluid was going up into her heart and basically stopped her heart. It made it to where she wasn't breathing. I think it blocked part of her lung area. It's one of those very rare situations that pretty much is life-threatening. And she ended up not being able to breathe for about 3 hours. So they put her on a respirator, and they were trying to go ahead and resuscitate her. And what happened was is that her heart had stopped, and she literally, her heart stopped for 45 minutes. And they were ready to go ahead and announce her dead, and pretty much just, you know, doing the death certificate. And they started getting blips back on the screen, and they were able to, you know, she basically on her own came back. And her story is very, very interesting, just looking at what it came to her. I put some notes down about, you know, some of the things that she said. Because she said, actually, when she died, she said she automatically started seeing a tunnel, the typical tunnel and things like that people talk about when they have a near-death experience, which I think is kind of funny. They call it near-death because it is death, and then you come back. Seeing your spiritual being, and she recognized it as her dad, and there was a bunch of light and stuff around him, and then there wanted it being other people around him. And then at one point she automatically knew that she wasn't going to go any further into this world, this new sense of awareness that she had for herself, and that she was going to be going back. She was told by one of these lighted family members that it wasn't her time, and that it was time for her, that she was going to be getting sent back into the world, kind of thing. And then that's when she said her heart started beating again and she came back. But depending on the different news reports that you're seeing with this, and I mean, if you put, new mom passes, you know, gone for 45 minutes and returns, that kind of thing, there's quite a few different things that are out there on the internet, which is great. But she said at no time, when she woke up, she felt like no time had passed, and she was wondering why she had all these different, tubes and stuff inside of her. Because as far as she was concerned, she kind of dozed off for a couple minutes, and then she came back, and then she literally had the room full of people that they had, since it was last rites, they basically had and invited the immediate family to come in and be around her, and thinking that it was just going to be her time and she was going to be gone. So I thought that was really just such a, all the doctors and nurses were just, they were crying. They could not believe it. And they're all calling it a miracle. They said they really felt the hand of God with this lady. And that a lot of the family members were literally outside in the next room from the area where she was, you know, just starting to pray and asking that, you know, she be returned to her body and all that. So I guess just a couple things, Gloria, I wanted to kind of talk with you about. One being, you know, the power prayer. And I mean, there's a whole conversation we could have about that within just all the scientific research that's been out there about prayer. And then, you know, if you've heard of anything with
Robin, NPR actually did an hour show specifically on the power of prayer in healing. So I think that we could have at least that long of a conversation, if not weeks worth.
Well, what were some of the highlights? Was that today that they shared that?
No, that was quite a while back.
Okay.
They've been doing studies on that based on different conjecture and how it plays out in the medical field. And you have many different trains of thought. And so this was just one of the gentleman who had done research on it and had published a paper for the medical community, and he was on the show.
Okay.
Yeah, it was
Dorsey.
Quite.
Wasn't Dorsey one of the guys who did that, when he was doing all that research for the power of prayer and stuff like that?
You know, I don't know the name. It was so long ago, I really don't remember the name. It was before I moved to San Diego.
Okay, I'm kind of looking it up as we're talking, so we'll see what's kind of out there. But I don't know why, but I'm thinking Dorsey is one of the guys that did a lot of that research. So, but you go to Power of Prayer, and there's, of course, all different kinds of stuff about there, too.
Yeah.
I actually have a book that it's the Power of Prayer with plants, and about praying to the seeds and praying to plants and things like that, and how there's been scientific research through just setting the intentions on a prayer level, that the plants respond to that and actually flourish, and actually you can get seeds and stuff like that to grow more abundantly when you're using the power of prayer.
Well, when you think about the power of the human mind, you know, and when you think about the message that, you know, when two or more come together in my name, you know, mm-hmm. you think about all of these things that are multiplied when you have people who actually put energy into thought, into the deed. I mean, all of this is an energy that goes out to the universe. And energy is an unseen force, but it is a force. And it's a force mm-hmm. to be reckoned with. And mm-hmm. when you actually stop to think and put intention behind the thought, then that's like putting it on rocket fuel. Really amazing what can happen when you do that.
Yeah. And just to kind of follow up with Larry Dorsey is actually the guy that I was thinking of. I've done a little bit more, a little just looking here on the internet. There's actually quite a few different YouTubes that are available that are actually interviews with Larry with other people talking about, and that's pretty much been his life, just really spending a lot of time going into doing research with just prayer in all different kinds of ways, and how it's impacted just you know, through people, through medical situations, and just people, just different ways that they've utilized prayer. So Larry Dorsey, if anybody's interested in that, that could be a whole show just talking about the power of prayer. So excuse me, I got a frog in my throat tonight. So
yeah, it's really quite a fascinating subject from a research mm-hmm. standpoint, because, you know, you have to consider not only the scientific, but then you start looking at the psychosomatic aspects, mm-hmm. and then you also may look within that realm to the placebo factor, you know, and how much is
right.
the power of the brain. And yet the study that the person that I was listening to was talking about addressed people coming together and praying, and they did blind studies so that the individuals who were being prayed over didn't know about it. And then they had some who did know about it. It was just this whole gamut of different scenarios. It was really fascinating.
So what was the difference between the people who didn't know and the people who did? Was there a significance with results, with something like that?
From what I recall, they were looking not so much about the individual knowing the result as it was about the clinicians, the doctors and the nurses didn't know. I mean, nobody knew. And the results were quite astounding. It's been so long, but the results were quite astounding from the standpoint of the ones that were actually prayed over, the people who were prayed mm-hmm. over by groups of people, you know, and the individual who was participating. And they looked at a whole range of aspects, but as far as a result for healing, the efficacy was very pro-prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But they also had different levels where they had people who were not necessarily praying, but thinking about these people getting well and seeing them get well, versus people who just got together and talked about other people who needed to get well. I mean, they had all these different levels and all these different numbers, so I don't know that I could actually answer your question well.
Okay, because, like, you know, as soon as we're talking about that, then I want to talk about meditation, because I know on a meditative level, when you do group meditation, the same kind of thing happens. I mean, I'm thinking of the different experiments they've done where they've actually asked groups of people to focus on certain areas of, say, a city, like different sections of a city that may have a higher level of crime, and then they would focus on that area being peaceful and less crime and people, you know, looking out for one another. There was more of a camaraderie and a care for each other. And over, like, a month's time, they would ask everybody to pray, you know, to meditate every day for that area, and over a certain amount of time, they would measure the level of that the violence did decrease. So there was evidence with that when it came to, like, a group meditation. And so is group meditation the same as prayer? I mean, on some levels, I would say yeah, because it's a matter of opening oneself and really coming from a peaceful, quiet mind and focusing it and, you know, moving it into a certain direction of intent.
You have, is there a question there?
That's kind of a question, but I mean, I guess I want your opinion on what I just said. It isn't a matter of, like, am I right or wrong? I mean, that's my kind of my feeling about that. And to me, it's pretty much the same thing, whether you're meditating or praying. I mean, once more, you know, there would be the, go ahead.
The answer to your question is yes. That's the simple
answer.
That's the simple answer.
The reason that I
asked if there was a question, because I have so many thoughts on that, and you can, if you address it and really look at it, you know, even from the standpoint of government studies versus individual studies and people who have had the experiences and know firsthand, the idea of utilizing the power of the mind, many people have not taken the time to harness the power of their mind. And then you have individuals such as yogis who have, and then you have the people who are practicing and, you know, or that are curious, and you have the people who are more serious. And each one individual, as they take time to notice, will recognize the power of the mind is affected by many different things and can be empowered to many different levels. And mm-hmm. when you consider going through, when you consider going through school and you learn your different levels of mathematics, it's the same thing when learning about the power of your mind. So the idea of prayer and meditation, these are more of preschool levels of being able to utilize the power of the mind.
Well, and I think that goes to the fact too, they say we only use like 8% of our brain, right? I mean, part of it could be the fact of... That's a component that goes with it.
That statement right there, I looked up, I was doing some research for something I was writing. And that particular statement was made by a scientist, and it was made erroneously because they were looking to prove a point. Well, it was proven, or through conversation, it was brought up that the brain, we utilize more than that percentage of the brain. It's just that you are utilizing different aspects of the brain, and they fire synchronistically, and we use a much larger percentage than what they're talking about. So if you were to do research on that statement, you would find that there are things to disprove that statement. We use a lot more than the 8% or the 9%. It's not as minuscule as people were led to believe by a statement that they accepted without doing any research on it.
Well, I'm glad to hear about that, because to me that just makes me feel way better.
And it should. But
I know
it should.
Well, and it makes sense, because I love to watch these shows on Discovery and things like that.
Because that statement, accepting that statement, is a disempowering statement, and it makes people feel as if they are less than when they utilize that. It's like saying, "Oh, I'm getting older, and that's why I feel this way." Well, that's just giving up, and it's giving away your power.
Right. Right. I take serious objection
to that.
Yeah, that's the whole conversation about, you know, you're as old as you think you are, which I think is really true. And when it comes to, you know, when you look at the models of one generation to the next, you know, what did my mom look like when she was 60? You know, so there's that impression in your mind. There's an attitude in that whole thing. And if you can come from, you know, I've heard it said that it's really great to say, I've been around the world so many. I mean, I've been around the earth, the sun so many times. So, you know, hey, you know, I'm 50. I've been around the sun 50 times. It gives you, your brain goes, what? What does that mean? It's a matter of like, I'm not that old. It's a matter of keeping track of a certain sense of things passing, you know, change. Something things
and
change
that conversation,
the fact of something getting older.
And that conversation is originating from someone who is looking from zero to an unknown quantity. If you were to take it from the other perspective and determine how old you think you're going to be when you're going to die, and then you look to where you are now, you actually have more time than you think you do. And most people are living with the idea that their life can end any time. And so they don't utilize their time that they cannot renew as efficiently as possible, because they're not thinking about it from the perspective of what can they accomplish within that time frame. They're looking at, well, I don't know when it's going to end, and so I guess I'll just fritter away today because I'm just going to.
Yeah, I think it was going back to Ruby's experience, you know, the miracle mom. She said that when she woke up, it felt like no time had passed, and it had been 4 hours.
Right.
You know, 4 hours out of her life. They said even when she was getting her pictures taken with the baby right after the baby came, that, you know, there's pictures and videos and stuff like that of her interacting with the baby, and she doesn't remember that at all because she was already starting to slip out. You know, she was slipping out of her body by that time. So she doesn't have any memory of that at all, even though they've got photographs and stuff of that, which I think is really interesting. Have you had anybody that you've known that has like had surgery or something and died and come back?
No.
No? Okay. Because I wanted
no.
to share. If
you take all of those, I've had people that I know that went into surgery, and I've had people that I know that went into surgery and died, but nobody that's ever come back.
Okay.
Oh, no,
okay.
I take that back. I do know someone, and she actually did a video and was teaching courses on it, and you could probably find her online. Her name is Sharon Lund.
Sharon what?
L-U-N-D is her last name, Lund. And
okay,
she did a video. She actually did a movie based on the experience, and was out teaching it.
Oh, wow, that's nice. Yeah.
Susan,
I'm going to
look
that up. She actually has a foundation, the Sharon Lund Foundation.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, because the she calls herself a memorial consultant. That's nice, a memorial consultant. Yeah. I had a dear friend of mine that I knew, an older person that she actually died twice on surgery tables. She had two different instances where she was, and the first one she said she remembers just automatically going through the tunnel, like Ruby had shared, and had loved ones and stuff there. And she said that same thing, they all greeted her, and she just said, you know, you've got choices. You can leave if you want, but if you go back, there's some wonderful things that we know that you can accomplish and be there for people. You know, would you be willing to go back? And so she said, oh, yeah, I'll go back, you know. So she came back, and then about 4 or 5 years later, she had another situation where she was getting a heart, you know, kind of a stent or something put in, and she passed out, and she went ahead and left her body again. And this time she floated around in the room and could see herself, and Jesus came walking through the wall and had a conversation with her. So, hey,
I've had wonderful conversations and experiences with angels and with God, and I actually had one with probably Beelzebub, and I told him to go away. I had no idea who he was. Those kind of conversations, priceless. I hate that word, but they're priceless. You get so much insight.
Yeah, you really do. So, you know, I just think it's so, and I mean, she really helped me to be more open-minded, to be expanded in the way I think about just, you know, what's out there when it comes to levels of connecting and what's really possible. So, I'm looking at Sharon Lund. Her book is called Dying to Live. And it's part of her website and stuff that she has, you know, the gift of life and being a consultant and planner and helping people to train. You know, that's so interesting, though. It's always, it goes back to we always have these experiences that move us to another level of service, you know, yeah. And it's always something that you never thought it was going to happen to you, or you never thought it was going to be something that you got into. But it's that 180 of life that basically just brings you into your true callings, just like with Sharon. You know, here she passes over and comes back, and then now her whole thing is really helping people to not be afraid of death and to be really looking at it from a different perspective, which is just so wonderful. Because that's one thing that the one thing that Ruby wanted everybody to know is that she no longer fears death, and she says it's nothing to fear, and she said every day is a gift. You know,
one of the things that I always said when I was growing up was that people who fear death fear life. They don't live it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's
they're
very
afraid
true
of
on
living.
A lot of level.
Yeah, if they fear death, they're afraid of living.
Yeah. You know, that's one thing my dad said. My dad passed away when he was 49. And at the time I thought, oh wow, he's 49, because I was in my 20s. But, you know, once I passed over 49, I thought to myself, gosh, he had so much more living that he could have done, you know, with that whole thing. And I've heard it said that, you know, we all have opportunities where we go through thresholds where we could check out. You know, we could leave the planet, whether it's a car accident or we get really sick or we're on the, you know, having surgery and we go out. You know, there's these portals that we pass through in our level of life experience, where we could be on the other side, and we, you know, choose to stay and continue moving forward. So I always think it's interesting that it winds up being a, you know, a medical situation where there's lots of witnesses and people are there to really see the whole level of a, you know, what they want to name a miracle when it comes to something like that. But this whole story with Ruby, I think, is interesting.
If,
like, you know,
if you based on what you just said, it's also interesting when you consider the times. And I don't like this phrase, the times that we live in, from the standpoint that more things are witnessed by more people so that they can talk about it and share it so that more people become accepting and understanding, and even just to hear. It's like learning the color azure, I guess I didn't say that right, azure, A-Z-U-R-E, is different than teal. I mean, just to know the differences and the nuances and to introduce something to people's minds so that when they see it, not only will they know what it is, but they'll become more accepting of it before they see it.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest moments I've had so far when it comes to just dealing with, you know, death is right after my mom passed. I was with her right after she had passed. And I've been, you know, trained to do just different levels of healing energy and things like that. And I put my right hand on top of her head, on like the back of her head, and I could just feel all this energy coming from the crown of her head. And right. I wound up putting my other hand on her heart, and I started doing the Serenity Prayer, and I also, you know, the Serenity Prayer, and I just, you know, everything that just, it just kind of spontaneously came through me, the different, and I was praying for her. I was praying for her peace, and I was praying for her, you know, that would pass the, you know, the our knowledge level of understanding and everything that we had in it. So, it just gave me
Your main chakra going up through your head is your connection to God Source.
Right. And I totally felt that. And I could see in my mind's eye how, you know, her light body, her energy body just got up from where she was laying on the bed and just kind of shook off anything that was like left over, like it was a heavy coat. And just started walking down the hallway, you know, going to check out my sisters. And they're all sitting out in the dining room area, just kind of collecting themselves, you know, because they'd been there when she did pass. And I got there right after. So I just thought that was just three months before she did pass, I really made a conscious effort to make sure that any time I was with her that we were okay, and that we were okay with each other. So if we never saw each other again, it would be we felt connected and we felt complete with whatever we needed to say or not say to one another. And I think that was one reason why she knew she could leave, because I just told her, you know, Mom, anytime you need to go. It's okay. You know, do what you need to do. And I meant that from my heart, and I think she knew that. So, you know, she knew she didn't have to hang out for me. You always have these stories of people that they're just clinging on to life until that one person comes that they can make peace with them before they pass. So it's always interesting to, you know, see how they do pass. You know, it's usually it's around a birthday or an anniversary, or there's some kind of a connection to time that we have, you know, while we're on the earth, and having it be something that's important. And then afterwards, they basically can let go. I know my grandmother died the day after her birthday.
Well, and I know, based on what you're saying, you know, I used to work in hospitals, and I saw so many people pass. And it really brought home to me, you know, that the last conversation that you have with people, the last thought that you have with people, and, you know, you can't always be 100% on the money. But just being aware of it makes you a lot more conscientious and conscious of how you're talking to people and what you say and the words you choose to use.
Mm-hmm. And I just think that's a lesson for everyone. I mean, that's like, you know, let's go back to every day is a gift. How do I talk to everyone? What if I never talk to that person ever again? Can I walk away, you know, in a loving and complete way, knowing that we're good with each other? And that's one thing I learned from my father, because when my dad died, he was, like I said, only 49. And, there was no closure. He was just like, you know, he had gone out on his own for an evening, and came, you know, we got noticed, you know, early that next morning that he passed having a heart attack. So, you know, it was one of those things where it was just kind of part of this. So just really like to invite everybody to go ahead and leave any comments or questions with the show. And it's a very poignant show, and it comes from that really just, you know, we brought some thought-provoking things out between the power of prayer and just, you know, being able to have a near-death experience and having coming back to life. And that, you know, every day is a gift. So I want to thank everybody for always just coming and joining us here on the show. Miss Gloria, thank you so much for always just being here, and addition to everything that we've got going on here. You're always a blessing.
Well, I would have to say likewise, because without you, I love you.
Aw, I love you too. So with that, we're just going to thank everybody. And you know, go and check out Ruby's story. It's very inspiring, and it reminds us all about, you know, how precious it is. And she's got that wonderful little girl now as a continual gift of reminding her about life and the preciousness of every day. So we just want to thank you, and we'll see you next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.